Hey, I'm David Archuleta, and you're listening to Life Minute TV. Oh no, another man down, another
heart left on the dance floor. Took a bite, now he wants more. The artist who captured America's heart as a 17-year-old on American Idol has grown into a multiple platinum-selling musician on a profound journey of self-discovery. Now fully embracing his authentic self, David Archuleta recently released the EP Earthly Delights Deluxe Edition, which includes two brand new tracks. Following his nationwide tour, the singer is bringing holiday cheer with a Christmas EP out in November and exclusive live shows in New York and Los Angeles this December. He recently stopped by for a chat to discuss his latest projects and his personal evolution. This is a Life Minute with David Archuleta.
Earthly Delights, yeah. The new tracks on Earthly Delights, I feel like they're more playful. I started with it being more flirtatious, but ended up just being more romantic lover boy. I realized I'm a lover boy at heart, more than a flirt even. And they are more like kind of sultry and sensual, but I feel like they're also wholesome in a way because they're, yeah, it's like romantic. It's not just like, well, I'm gonna have fun with you. Like, it's more like, hey, how you doing? Like, it's great getting to know you and what we're building together. So it's like a lover boy era for me. We got that dulce amor. I just want more. I would describe the sound as pop, but a lot of it's dreamy pop mixed with a little bit of attitude as well. The inspiration, I really just was like, you know, I have been pretty reserved and shy my whole life. And I thought, if I ever like felt like, yeah, like I've got this, I was embarrassed to even like touch that area of myself and to feel that kind of confidence. I thought it was like too cocky or too full of myself. But I was like, you know what? What if I just like embraced who I am and loved myself? Still shy at times, but there are times where I feel myself and just let it out. And this was what came out. Like, I feel more comfortable in my skin, in my body, and that confidence, and it just feels nice. I'm like, oh, it's nice to give yourself some credit sometimes and just own it. Yeah, it's been a journey to get here, but it's been like a lot of, honestly, like therapy has been great. A lot of conversations, a lot of reflection time, and just life transitions. I grew up religious and I grew up not understanding my sexuality. Like, I knew that I was different from a little kid. Like, you know, boys like girls, girls like boys. And I'm like, oh, I'm like, I don't fit in that, just that one fit all category, but what am I? Like, you don't really understand it and you don't get taught. So you're just kind of left keeping it to yourself. And then you get older and you grow up and become an adult and you come to a point where you have to come to terms and face yourself, and it's really terrifying and scary. But then you're like, but what if I'm okay the way I am? Finally came to a point in my 30s, just not too long ago, where I was like, what if I just accept myself and learn to love myself as is? And I thought I was doing the right thing by despising who I was. And then I realized, what if I taught myself self-love? And it was a process. Like I said, therapy was really helpful, and conversations, and letting myself make like trial and error, make mistakes, fumble here and there, and then figure my own footing and realize, okay, I can stand here as I fully am authentically. And it feels amazing. And it's still a journey, it's still a process, but I feel like Earthly Delights was indulging in the things of the world that I thought I had to stay away from, like a, what is that pole that they sing in The Grinch? You know, 13.5-foot pole. Like, I thought that's what I needed to do is, but when you let yourself just experience life and human connection, it's just like, ah. And thus the Earthly Delights, there's that sultry look on the EP right there. I am on the Earthly Delights tour. I have a stop here in New York City. I'm really excited, and I have dancers. Like, I'm not a professional dancer, But to be able to involve choreography into the show and the experience you give to people, and it's like a tool you utilize to bring people along on the journey and just have fun, I feel like it's hotter to do, like, because there's movement, and when you move, you just are naturally more in touch with your body. And I think, I mean, that's what sensuality and sexuality does too. It's like being in touch with your body. And so choreography and dancing can feel sexual. And sometimes people are like, it makes them uncomfortable. It's like, whoa, wait, these are feelings I've always had to block off and not feel. But it's like, no, it's like, move it, be in touch with yourself. It's part of being human. It's refreshing. It's so people can come to the show, they can dance, or they could just listen. I usually like to make people jump though, you know, every now and then, and rock out with me and dance along. I think it's the Latino in me as well. I just love to move to music and to rhythm. Any pre-show rituals? I'm trying to be better about stretching, especially now with dancing. Choreography, I'm not like full on dancing. Like, I mean, there's some moments where I am actually dancing a lot, but that's important. Drinking water, vocal rest when you're like in the middle of tour, towards the end of tour, because your voice gets worn out from singing every night. So that's important. Not talking too much on the phone. You can't laugh too much either, because laughing really wears your voice out if you're laughing too much. Simple things like that. I'll drink like an herbal tea, and even just like breathe in the steam just to keep my vocal cords moisturized.
I could give you the world, but I'll never give you my heart.
I didn't really look at myself as being a gifted singer growing up. I just knew that I loved it. There was like a connection, it pulled me in. It was like a magnet. My parents are both musicians. My mom sings, my dad plays trumpet, and they were in a salsa band together. I just felt like I had purpose, I had meaning when I was connecting to music, whether it was singing to it or listening to it or dancing to it. It just made me feel alive. I don't know, for a moment, you just don't even question why you're here. You just get it, and you're like, life. This helps me realize I'm here and breathing and just feeling like fulfilled and connected to the world around me. Some influences growing up, I would say Whitney Houston, Celine Dion, Cyndi Lauper. I just saw her in concert for the first time. Michael Jackson, Stevie Wonder. I watched the We Are the World video, and that just, I was like, who are these amazing people? And then so Stevie Wonder and Cyndi Lauper were in there, and I became obsessed with both of them. Selena Quintanilla, she was a huge inspiration as well as musicals. My dad showed me Les Miserables and Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, and I think when I watched Les Miserables, that was the first time where I was just like, music, performing. I was watching people on stage because it was like the PBS special. I was like, what is going on? Why do these notes and chords strike me in such a way that it's just doing things to me. I was like 6 years old, and I just was completely enveloped into it. I just felt like I was one of the characters when I would watch, and I would pretend, I would like put a blanket around me and pretend I was one of the Parisians characters in the musical.
I look handsome, I look smart, I am a walking work of art.
Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat was one of the first albums that my dad showed me. It was the one right after Les Miserables that he showed to me, and I started learning songs from it as like a 6-7-year-old. And so for it to be my first musical that I was in was really fun. I performed at, they call it Broadway in the Canyon. It's in Southern Utah, Tuacon, and it's a beautiful, marvelous production. Like, a lot of the performers are based here in New York, and they fly them out to be a part of the Tuacon production. It wasn't too demanding of a role because Joseph, his range is in my range, and Andrew Lloyd Webber doesn't really have you acting. It's like singing pretty much the entire time, so that made it easier for me. But it was just really a fun time. It's fun to work with a cast where it's not just all focused on you, you're working as a team, you know, and as a family together to tell the story to the audience. And I think that's really fun. It makes it more lighthearted that way.
First up, from Sandy, Utah, meet David Archuleta.
I did Star Search when I was 12 years old. I was in the kids division. I went up like with some of my friends. I mean, like Tori Kelly was also on there, my friend Joel James, and so I've known Tori just ever since then, and now she's killing it. It's just amazing. She just got off of doing the European tour with Ed Sheeran, his European tour. I'm just like, wow, look at us. Like, look how far we've come. And it's weird how it's like a small world, because the majority of people on Earth like music. So to be able to like cross paths like that, and then like here we are again, because she was on, Tori was on American Idol, and now we're both performers, and it's just wild. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. American Idol I did when I was 16. I think seeing the reaction of people on American Idol and seeing that they were continuously voting for me forward and invested in my journey and in my growth and in the songs that I was choosing to sing, and that they wanted to see me succeed, I think that's when I started realizing, okay, maybe I have a skill in this and an ability, because there have been like over 100,000 people who've auditioned for just my season that I was on. So to be one of the few who make it forward, I was like, okay, I must have something that connects with people. And I still was like, there's still singers who are technically better than me and have more charisma, who don't have as many nerves as I do when I go on stage, but there's something that people connect to with me. And I felt like that gave me confidence in what I did. It's like, if even if I don't feel like the best singer, I can feel confident up there knowing that I'm going to connect with people. And that doesn't have to be a perfect performance. I can create special moments in the song. I could pick a song that makes me feel things. And if I don't remember every word, if I don't sing every note correctly, that's not what matters. And I think that's maybe what I feel is the gift I have, is the ability to connect with people, and music is an outlet to do that. It's nerve-wracking stepping in front of, especially like Simon Cowell, because he was known for tearing people down, like breaking their spirits and shattering their hopes and dreams in one sentence, you know. I was always on his good side. He liked me, and I was like, okay, maybe he feels bad for me, I don't know. This is how I took it. But looking back, I'm like, maybe he just genuinely enjoyed what I had to offer. And I think we see him now on America's Got Talent and other shows, that he's a judge. He's softened up a lot more. I think he cares a lot more about the story and the journey of someone, the surprises. He loves those, rather than, are you perfectly good at what you do or not? So it's crazy how, you know, Paula Abdul, Randy Jackson, I still keep more in touch with Paula because she's just so sweet, and she was a performer, so we just related to her more. She invited me to go see Blake Lewis, who was the runner-up on the season before me. She invited me to go see his show, and Elliot Yamin also performed. We did some TikToks together, so we did some dances. And I did a tribute to her at the Queerties. Straight up now, tell me, do you really wanna love me forever? Or am I caught in a hit and run? I got to sing a medley of her songs and did choreography to it, and it was just fun to see her there watching and like singing and moving along to her songs, like her legacy, and to honor her in that way was really special. For my season, I saw Brooke White. She was fifth place during my season. We had lunch and caught up. We were listening to music we'd both been writing and reminiscing. I saw Jordan Sparks recently. She has a podcast that's called What's Your Spark? And I was her first guest, which was really fun. And again, just reminiscing and talking about our journeys and the ups and downs of the American Idol experience, especially we were both around the same age. We were both 16 and then 17 by the time it ended. So we just had a lot of parallels. We both grew up very conservative as well, and then brought into this world where it's like you see so many other ways of living life and experiencing things, and it's just like, how do you process all this? But we found our footing as we've gotten older, and she has a beautiful family now and is killing it. I've done anything differently. I think I would have just tried to have more fun. I think I took it too seriously, and it really sucked the joy out of the experience for me as it continued into it. Because at first I didn't have expectations. I was like, I'm gonna sing songs I like. And then when the pressure of the competition started weighing in, I was like, oh, I've gotta do well. Because a lot of people are voting for me and counting on me, and there's pressure. And there was a lot of pressure from everybody, media, and they wanted it to be competitive. And I was just like, as the competition went on up to the finale, I'm like, this just isn't fun anymore because of all the pressure and all the hype and expectations and attention and the time. It was time consuming. It was draining. There was so much going on. Not you're singing, but you're also making appearances and interviews and photo shoots, and they were having to shoot commercials every week on top of that, and having to shop, decide what outfits we were gonna wear, and so we'd have to shop for that on top of everything. And then you just feel the energy of the hype, and that is exhausting. So I was like, I just want a break. I just want to like hide for a moment. If I just didn't take it as seriously and just enjoyed it and pick songs that were fun rather than, is this a good enough competition song? Am I showcasing my voice enough? It would have made it a more pleasant experience, and I wouldn't be like looking back on it, like all like taking me back to the scared kid every time I think about it. Going through that as I did, I'm here today. I'm performing, releasing new music, and I've grown so much regardless. When we had Mariah Carey week, she encouraged me to use my falsetto, which was something I was really afraid to. I was 17, so like my voice was still sort of changing, and I didn't really know how to use my high notes. And so when she pushed me to use my falsetto, I was like, can I really do that? Like, I don't really have a strong falsetto, but I'm like, let's do it. If Mariah Carey challenges you to do something, I would say go for it. It's like, that would have been a huge regret if I was like, oh, I'm too afraid to. Like, no, you just gotta go for it. And it worked. Like, it turned out great. And now I started using my falsetto a lot more after that. I wrote a memoir, it's called Devout. And it's about the American Idol experience, but just growing up from childhood, growing up Mormon, and in kind of like that Utah bubble, because I grew up in Utah after being born in Miami, but I wasn't exposed to a lot. And then I go on to this national TV show, American Idol, and have everybody watching me. And I was still trying to figure myself out and didn't really know who I was, but at the same time was trying to be likable and get everyone's approval. So I was just like, what do you guys want me to be? I'll be whatever you want, just accept me. I took a break from music to be a missionary for 2 years, a Mormon missionary. And then I came back and I tried to follow like the Mormon plan of get married, have kids. And as I tried that a few times and it didn't work, that's when I realized I think I have to come to terms with my sexuality and be honest with myself. Because how can I give my life to someone and accept them if I can't even accept myself? And so I talk about that and the years it took of a process to finally accept myself and to come out and take another shot at just living life and being a musician and doing that in front of everybody. You know, I hope it helps people who go through any types of life transitions, whether it's religion, sexuality, jobs, family related ones. Transitions can be difficult to navigate, but I hope that I can show that despite how heavy it can get, you can find your way through and find, like, I did it. And the liberation you feel when you're willing to make the changes that are needed in your life instead of just getting stuck in the same cycle over and over again. What got me out of it? I think it was finding a way to interpret my spirituality in a way that helped me find that I belong. That even if I don't fit what everyone is saying you need to be happy, and if you don't, you'll fail, or you won't be happy, you'll be miserable. I had to be willing to challenge that quota and say, yeah, what if I need to look and live differently than the people around me? And that's scary. It's terrifying because it's like you stick out and get people's disapproval or even get hate from people misunderstanding you and fearing you. I was just like, I don't want people to fear me and be repulsed by me. because of what they don't understand, but I had to take the chance to be disapproved by people and even be rejected. And I'm like, I don't want to be rejected. That's such a terrifying feeling as a human being, to be rejected, especially from your people and your community and your tribe, you know? But I realized you can start again, which is terrifying. Like, oh my gosh, I have to start over. But then it's like, I get to start over. For me, it was like being born again. Like having another chance at life is what it felt like. So it is scary, but I would say it's really worth it. And it's just, oh, it's so invigorating if you allow yourself to do it. I don't affiliate myself with any like organized religion or belief system because I feel like there are so many biases depending on which one you happen to associate with. And I feel like it can cause you to feel like it's like us and then there's them. And I think it's easy to isolate yourself from other perspectives of life and being a human being. And sometimes having two set of beliefs, whether they're like religious or political or like just geographical, you know, religion can connect you to your community within that community, within that bubble. But once you leave that bubble, you start fearing other people who aren't like you or you think they're wrong. And it's like, well, what, maybe they just have a different perspective. By not being associated with anything, I can hop around. I can look through the lens of many people. I can say, you know, I value that. I value this as well. Because it's like, we're all human, regardless of the language you speak or the color of your skin or your sex or your gender. You know, it's, we're all humans and we all experience things slightly different because no two people are the same. Even if you're both in the same religion, like there's such nuance to each individual that I want to be able to enjoy every perspective and value that in the end, we are all just a part of life. And that's what makes it beautiful. What I love about music and being an entertainer, being in the arts, is you're able to sometimes surpass any boundaries that people may have or any walls and transcend it. And music is a way of connecting to anybody, regardless of your language or what your personal beliefs may be in any sort. You can take a moment and just take the guards down and just let everyone connect. Let everyone just channel in to a song, to melody, to lyric, to rhythm. And everyone's together for just, you know, even if it's for one song for 4 minutes, you know, or 3 minutes, 2 minutes, however long the song is, or 6 minutes if you're like Led Zeppelin or something, but Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen. I think it's like a moment where everyone realizes we're all human and you forget anything else that may feel like it's, you have to stick with your own team and us versus them. It's just like, we're all here. And that's, let's just soak that in.
'Cause loving you is like coming home. Loving you is like coming home.
What inspires me creatively? I would say life inspires me. The journey, the stories, the interactions, the frustrations, the relationships you have, the losses, the breakups, like anything that makes you feel something, you can put that feeling into music. And I love that. That's so cool about music. You just, even before like I can form my thoughts and my ideas or sentences to describe how I'm feeling, melodies come. And I'm like, this is how I feel. And you show it to them and people feel it. It's like, it's a language that they understand, even though you don't have the words to form all the details and specifics. And I think that's just the coolest thing. And it makes me excited to go into a writing room or the studio to create something from scratch. And I'm like, wow, this came from my emotions. Even if you think these are ugly feelings, like, oh, this is messy, this is embarrassing, like, oh, and you put it into music, but it's like so relieving to put in there. When you are raw and vulnerable in your music, people connect to it. And it's like, this was such a messy part of my life, but people relate. Everyone has messiness in their lives. And so to give people that space to explore it and to just own it is really refreshing. I listen to a lot of EDM music because I really like EDM music, dancing. I like going to the festivals and the raves. It's like another place of connection that I feel where, again, like that everyone just escapes, whether they're nurses or singers or technicians. They just come and they just move to the rhythm, and everyone's just tuned in to the same frequency for a night. And I think it's the coolest. I mean, I love Chris Lake, John Summit. I like Om Nom and Odd Mob. Those are all DJs. For singers, I've been listening to Sabrina Carpenter's new album. I've been listening to Thames. I like 90s music. I mean, I listen to Biggie. I listen to Lauryn Hill. There's so many people that I want to collab with, but I don't really collab much. I'm trying to for this Chris. I'm doing a Christmas EP. I'm trying to collab with some of my friends. The Christmas EP is coming out later this year. I'm excited for it. I'll be doing a few shows, even at Joe's Pub here in New York. Maybe we'll see one of my dream collabs on this EP. That would be fun. But, you know, there's some great people, like Sabrina Carpenter would be fun. Chapel Roan would be so fun to do a collab with. I mean, I guess one that I'm known for doing was the collaboration I did when I was a teenager on Hannah Montana with Miley Cyrus. Maybe someday down the road I'll sit back and say to myself, yeah, I thought so. I sang on her third album that they released, and third season, I Want to Know You. That was pretty fun, and people still come to me. You know, I was just on one episode, but people come up to me and say, were you that guy on Hannah Montana? Which is fun, but that was a fun collab. What do I like to do for fun? I mean, I like to go to the gym. It's nice. I like to go on walks. I like to go and try new food at food spots, restaurants. I love Yelp. Okay, what are the restaurants? What are people saying? What are the reviews? What are the pictures of the food? Oh, food makes me so happy. My favorite comfort food? I mean, oh, there's so many good ones. I love cereal. I love grilled cheese sandwiches. I like peanut butter jelly sandwiches. I like tacos. Yeah, those are some good ones. French toast is good too. My personal style, I feel like it's pretty casual, but like sometimes I like to go more all out, but I like to keep it more minimal. Like I like a t-shirt and like a necklace. I like a tank top too. It just feels more freeing, like breathable. I think I dress for comfort more than anything. I'm a lazy dresser-upper if it's not an event. I'm not really good with following any like skincare routines. After the gym, I do like to go to the steam room or the sauna. And I feel like that's a part of my skincare. I do try to wash my face, but I just usually forget. I'm not really good at it. But just water, like hot water. I like to use hot water on my face. You know, I would like to still travel more. I would like to go to Antarctica. That's the only continent I haven't been to yet. So that would be fun. See some penguins. Best piece of life advice I could give is just to be willing to discover who you are authentically, like the authentic you, and be willing to mess up, make mistakes, as Miss Frizzle would say on the Magic School Bus. Let yourself be imperfectly you. And as you do that, life will be just so much more refreshing. It'll be so much more fun. Give yourself a little bit of adventure, whether it's trying a new place to eat or trying to make something in the kitchen, or to talk to somebody new, or to try a new class, or to write a song or paint a picture. Just give yourself opportunity to live your life. And giving yourself new experiences, I feel it makes life all the more fulfilling.
To see more of this interview, visit our website, lifeminute.tv. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Life Minute TV.